Okay, so if I told you that human beings are the number one cause of cybersecurity breaches, you'd probably just nod, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It feels pretty intuitive.
It feels totally intuitive. But what if I then said that the entire global security industry, well, it can't actually agree on how often that
Now,
happens.
that's interesting.
Right. I mean, get ready for a massive and I think really mission-critical data contradiction. One of the biggest 2024 reports, the Verizon DBIR, states that the human element contributes to a staggering 68% of all breaches.
68%.
Hey.
And that number is driving massive spending decisions, in boardrooms everywhere.
Exactly. But you have to hold that thought because another huge report, IBM's cost of a data breach for 2024 puts that same idea breaches from human error way, way down.
Not far down.
They claim it's only 22%.
Wow, 22.
22% versus 68%. I mean, that is a gigantic 46-point difference depending entirely on which source you trust. So we have this foundational disagreement at the very core of cybersecurity.
And this isn't just about statisticians arguing over numbers. This is a failure of communication, and it's leading to some really questionable budget decisions.
So why does this matter so much, beyond just getting the percentage right?
It matters because these inconsistencies, they're not just small rounding errors. They're symptoms of a really profound lack of standardization in terminology and taxonomy right across the whole industry.
So if researchers and vendors and, the people on the ground can't even agree on what human error is.
Then how can we ever get a clear picture of the threat landscape? We can't.
Which means every mitigation strategy is kind of ad hoc. You're just fighting whatever fire you see, but you can't really learn from what happened to the company next door, even if it was the exact same problem.
Exactly. Knowledge transfer is just completely hampered by these ambiguous concepts. So our mission today is to really dig into five of these huge 2024 reports, expose these classification gaps, and this is the important part advocate for adopting established human factors framework.
Frameworks from other industries.
Yeah, models that have been used for decades in places like aviation to finally bring some clarity to cybersecurity reporting.
Okay, so to do this, we dove into the Verizon DBIR, the IBM report, NSS Threat Landscape, Microsoft's Digital Defense Report, and a major global CISO survey. And the finding, I mean, it just jumps off the page.
It really does. There are substantial material inconsistencies across all of them in how they define, categorize, and even quantify the human element. It's
Oh.
a mess.
So let's break that fragmentation down. You said it shows up in three main areas.
That's right. The divergence is primarily in three places: terminology, scope, and metrics. So let's start with terminology.
Okay.
You see Verizon using a pretty detailed, defined set of subtypes under this big umbrella of errors. So we'll talk about things like misdelivery or misconfiguration. It's relatively granular.
And then on the other side of that coin, you have IBM, which just uses the broad, sweeping label human error.
Right, with not a lot of detail. It treats it as this one single block of risk. And then you have organizations like Anisa and Microsoft. They often avoid human error as a category altogether.
What do they use instead?
They'll talk about human factors or the human element, but more as a story, narratively within a discussion about phishing or insider risk. So the vocabulary itself is all over the map.
And the scope changes everything, right? This feels like where that 46-point gap really lives.
It's absolutely central. Verizon tries to narrowly define errors as specifically unintentional actions, but IBM seems to aggregate, well, everything. Unintentional mistakes, maybe some policy violations, just various employee slip-ups all lumped together.
So you're measuring two fundamentally different things. It's no wonder the numbers are so different.
It's not. And that leads directly back to the metrics clash we started with, 68% versus 22%. These numbers are just not comparable because they're counting different things based on different rules.
And then there's that third data point, the one from the CIO survey.
Right, which complicates it even more because it's a perception-based metric. It found that 74% of chief information security officers cite human error as the single biggest organizational cyber risk.
That's 74%. That's so critical. It shows how much the leaders feel this vulnerability, even if the data scientists can't give them a consistent number to work with.
Absolutely. Right now, we are comparing apples, oranges, and executive anxiety. And all three are being used to drive major policy and investment.
This is why we have to move beyond just counting. Let's pivot to the qualitative side, because the way these reports frame the problem, that creates a huge cultural issue. It's about the entire approach to the analysis, especially when you look at it through a human factors lens.
That is exactly where the critical gaps show up. we found four major analytical gaps. Yeah. First, like we said, no standard definitions, so everything is implied or subjective.
Okay, what's second?
Second, the granularity is totally inconsistent. Only Verizon is detailed enough to tell you, for instance, that misdelivery, just sending an email to the wrong person, accounted for over half of their reported errors. That's a hugely valuable specific insight.
And the others just give you a big number.
They give you the what, but not the how, or which specific type of mistake we actually need to fix.
And the third gap is the one that really drives security culture. You call it the blame gap.
Yes. This is all about attribution and framing. Some reports, like Verizon's and Anisa's, they tend to stay pretty neutral. They just describe the incident. But others, especially IBM and the CISO survey, they often isolate human error as this discrete, immediate cause.
Which sort of implies it's the user's fault.
It can, even if unintentionally. It's the difference between the person approach, which asks who messed up, and the system approach, which asks why the system let them mess up.
And this leads right to the fourth gap, which you said is maybe the biggest conceptual miss of all.
It's the absence of latent factor analysis. This is a core human factors idea, and it seems to be completely missing from almost all cybersecurity reporting today.
Explain that. What do you mean by latent factors?
So, the reports are great at focusing on the active human errors, the thing that happened right before the breach. Clicking the bad link, you know, entering your credentials, misconfiguring a setting, they stop right there.
But they miss the why.
They fail to trace back to the systemic contributors, the latent conditions that set that person up to fail in the first place.
Okay, can you give us a concrete example, like a cloud misconfiguration? How does that play out?
Sure. So, imagine a developer. It's late on a Friday night. They're pushing to meet a huge deadline. The active error is a simple slip. They check the wrong access box on this incredibly confusing cloud console interface, and a data bucket gets exposed.
And the current reports would just say human error, misconfiguration, end of story.
End of story. But the latent factor analysis is missing.
So what are the latent factors there?
Well, the organizational pressure of that deadline. The fatigue from working a 70-hour week, the fact that there's no mandatory peer review for a high-risk change, and, crucially, the poor, confusing interface design of the console itself that made it easy to click the wrong thing.
So those are the real root causes.
Established frameworks say yes. These latent conditions aren't passive background noise. They are the true systemic root causes of that visible error.
So we're effectively blaming the employee for clicking the wrong link when the policy was unclear, the training was bad, and the whole system was pressuring them. That sounds incredibly counterproductive.
It is. And on top of that, we see an underrepresentation of the positive roles humans play. The vast majority of these reports only talk about vulnerability.
They don't talk about the good stuff.
Barely. They minimize the positive contributions, like employee vigilance or, you know, the 99% of phishing emails that get correctly reported, or near misses that were stopped. Humans are basically just framed as liabilities, not as active, intelligent parts of the defense.
That framing seems like it would hamstring any real effort to improve. If these problems, blaming the user when the system is flawed, if they've been solved in other high-risk industries like aviation,
then we absolutely need to borrow their homework.
Okay.
That is the essential finding here. The solution to this fragmented reporting is to integrate established human factors frameworks. These are proven models designed specifically to manage error where failure is just not an option.
So for anyone listening who isn't familiar with safety science, let's go back to basics. How does the science actually define an error?
So we lean on James Reason's foundational work. In safety science, an error is just an action or a decision that results in an undesired outcome. Simple as that. But Reason broke them down by where they fail in our thinking process.
Okay.
You have slips, which are execution failures. The intention was correct, but you did the wrong thing, like clicking the button right next to the one you meant to hit.
The classic typo.
Exactly. Then you have lapses, which are memory failures. Mm. You forget a step in a complicated process because you're distracted or tired. And then finally, you have mistakes.
Which are different from slips and lapses.
Right. Mistakes are failures in planning or judgment. You make a fundamentally poor choice because you misunderstood the situation or applied the wrong rule.
And those distinctions matter because fixing a slip might mean redesigning an interface, but fixing a mistake probably means better training or clearer rules.
Precisely.
But how do these individual errors fit into the bigger picture of a total system failure?
That's where Reason's Swiss cheese model, the SCM, provides this huge conceptual shift. The SCM sees failures as the result of latent weaknesses, the holes in the slices of cheese across all of an organization's defenses.
So a breach only happens when all those holes line up for a second.
Exactly. When the holes align, allowing an act of failure to slip all the way through, it fundamentally shifts the question from who blundered to how and why did our defenses, our training, our design, our policies fail.
So instead of blaming the person who clicked the wrong cloud setting, we're asking if the policy was clear, if the interface was intuitive, and if supervision was adequate. This sounds way more robust.
It is. And building on that model, we have a practical tool called the Human Factors Analysis and Classification System, or HFACS.
HFACS.
Right. It was developed for U.S. military aviation crash investigations. It systematically categorizes human error across four interrelated levels: unsafe acts, the preconditions for those acts, unsafe supervision, and finally, organizational influences.
Wait a minute, though. We're already struggling with five reports using different taxonomies. Isn't adding a complex four-level hierarchy like HFACS just making the reporting more complicated?
That's a really fair challenge. But complexity in the reporting isn't the problem. Inconsistency and subjectivity are. HFACS introduces a structured complexity. It forces investigators out of that blame box.
How?
Instead of just stopping at unsafe act, it forces you to categorize the organizational influences that led to the unsafe supervision, that created the preconditions for the act. This structure actually reduces subjective bias and gives you actionable categories. You can't fix poor supervision if your report only shows an employee mistake.
That distinction, moving from just documenting failure to actually diagnosing the system's pathology, that feels key. So if we integrate a framework like this, like an HFACS for cybersecurity, what does that look like in practice?
Well, first, we need a balanced narrative. Reporting has to capture the full human impact. That means tracking positive metrics alongside the failures.
So not just counting breaches.
Right. We need to track phishing detection rates, successful near-miss interventions where an employee reported something suspicious. This reframes humans from being weak links to being active, vital parts of the defense system.
That makes so much sense from a cultural standpoint. You're rewarding vigilance. But how do you make this high-level modeling, you know, SCM and HFACS, how do you make that actionable for a security operations center, SOC, in real time?
That is where the technical future is. It's in the role of ontology. We need to build a human factors ontology, a formal system that links specific human concepts like trust, expertise, cognitive workload.
With actual system artifacts like servers or databases.
Exactly. Like server consoles, critical databases, cloud infrastructure.
That sounds pretty theoretical. How does that generate a security warning?
It lets you do predictive, proactive risk assessment. Imagine the system knows a new employee has a low expertise rating, they have a high current workload, and they're trying to access a tier one high-risk system outside of normal hours.
Okay, that's a lot of red flags.
It is. And that specific combination, low expertise, high workload, high-risk artifact, could let the SOC platform generate an early, actionable warning for a supervisor to step in before the misconfiguration error can even happen.
So this flips the whole script. You go from reactive, cleaning up the mess after a breach, to proactive, predicting and preventing these high-risk interactions before the holes in the cheese can align.
That's the ultimate goal, an integrated system based on real safety science. But we have to be clear about the limitations of this analysis for now.
Of course.
This deep dive was a qualitative analysis of only five very influential English language reports from 1 year.
Yeah.
That limits how much we can generalize.
So what's the next step for researchers and practitioners who want to actually move this forward?
We need concrete field trials. We have to get SOC teams and CISOs to pilot and validate this kind of taxonomy to test if it's usable and if it has an impact in the real world.
You have to talk to the people who write the reports.
Absolutely. We need to engage directly with the report authors at Verizon and IBM and with CISOs through structured interviews to refine these definitions. And finally, we just need to broaden the sample size over time to look at both error-based and success-based human contributions.
This has been an absolutely fascinating look into the taxonomy headache at the very heart of cybersecurity mitigation. So the core takeaway for you, our listener, is that the current fragmented state of reporting really hinders effective mitigation. We just can't accurately compare, diagnose, or learn when the definitions vary so wildly, giving us numbers anywhere between 22 and 68%.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the goal here isn't just to count errors better or assign blame. It's to move past documenting the immediate failure point, the misclick, the axe devil share, and start documenting and fixing the organizational, the design, and the situational factors that allowed that error to happen in the first place.
So here's the final thought. If we accept that errors are inevitable, because humans, even the best of us, are fundamentally fallible, how quickly can the cybersecurity industry move past pointing fingers at individuals and instead invest heavily in fixing the organizational systems and the interfaces that are currently setting people up to fail? That's something for you to mull over as you work within and secure your own systems this week.